Breakfast Bench Podcast. Tim Benz with you as we get set for Syracuse and Pitt at the Peterson Event Center on Saturday. Good year for college basketball here in Pittsburgh. The Panthers relevant again. They just got their 20th win. Duquesne on the doorstep of that after just 6 wins a season ago. The Dukes could get number 20 on Sunday against Davidson, but let's focus on the Panthers right now as they get set for the Orange coming to town and what I'm sure will be a hostile environment at the Peterson Event Center to welcome Jim Boeheim and Syracuse. Joining us right now to talk about it from a Syracuse perspective is Brent Axe. He is a columnist at Syracuse.com. You can hear him on ESPN Syracuse on the block 4 to 6 Monday through Friday. Brent, it's great to catch up with you again, my friend. How you been?
Tim, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, buddy.
All right, let's talk about this from a Syracuse point of view, this game, which has been built up a lot here in Pittsburgh because Panther fans have been waiting to react to Jim Boeheim coming on the court, if nothing else. I mean, the team is good. Fun to see here in Pittsburgh in a year where the Pens aren't very good and the Steelers are out of the playoffs. It's been nice to have the Panthers relevant once again. This game was going to be meaningful regardless for Pitt as they try to secure a spot in the NCAA tournament. But because Boeheim said what he said a few weeks ago, Pitt bought a team like Wake Forest, that's got everybody in a lather. How has that story been tracked, talked about, and reacted to in Syracuse?
Not well. You know, Syracuse fans are obviously frustrated with the team. And then when Jim made those comments to Pete Thamel a couple of weeks ago, it was on top of, remember, Jim had gone after a couple of student reporters at recent press conferences. It was just one thing after the other, but it was just irresponsible to just point fingers at other programs and do that when Syracuse that week, Tim, had flown in a recruit by its big-time booster, sat him courtside with a couple of famous rappers. And then the kid signs a few days later, right? Voila, what a coinkydink, right? Syracuse has fully gone in on the NIL game. It is literally buying players, and you got Boeheim spouting off on that, right? So that was a big mess. He was certainly talked to by management at Syracuse, the athletic director, John Wildhack. And, you know, since then, Jim's been pretty timid by Jim's standards. And now you got a team that's lost its last two games by an average of 20 points. You know, other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Things are great up here.
So you mentioned how he went after a couple of student reporters. I know what that experience is like, having been a student reporter there. I know what it's like having been a paid professional there when I worked there after graduation. None of that necessarily surprised me. I think that if I could characterize this in a certain way, and to whatever degree Boeheim recanted, backtracked, apologized, however you want to phrase it, I don't think Boeheim is ever upset or sorry for something he says. Well, at least let me put it this way. He's never sorry for thinking it. He's just sorry sometimes it comes out of his mouth when he's not expecting it.
100%. 100%. He only is sorry when there's pushback, right? You know, Jim, and there's a common thread here, Tim, in what we're talking about here. Jim is always in a lather after games. And that's when he can get him at his most worked up. And, you know, Jim will sometimes walk in that press conference, as you know, and he'll have an agenda that has nothing to do with the game. And it's usually after a win. And I've always said, you know, the Jim Boeheim press conference is the best show in town because he'll just come in and start ranting about anything in that press conference, right? So he's only sorry when there's pushback. He's only sorry, air quotes, you know, some carefully worded statement that his SID writes for him, when, you know, things kind of got out of hand. In this case, what we were talking about with the pointing fingers at Pitt and Wake Forest, you know, look, let's be honest, Miami was flat out just buying players left and right. So Jim got one out of three right there. But to be as irresponsible as he was about his, I mean, he's the dean of the ACC coaches, Tim, and he's taking shots at other programs. Like, what are you going to gain from that? So, you know, credit to Pete Thamel, Syracuse alum, and who used to work at the Post Standard in Syracuse as well, who knows that Jim's fired up after those games and can kind of get him in a pretty opinionated manner and get him to say something that's going to make waves.
That happened on the side, though, right? Like, he just got him after the press conference. What did he sort of just tell the SID, hey, I'm coming up. Can I get Jim for a little while afterwards for ESPN.com? And it went from there. Is that kind of how it went down?
Here's what's telling about that, Tim. So in the aftermath, Jim had to make three clarifications about everything he said in that comment. And he's also kind of said on the radio in passing, like, he didn't know that was like a formal interview. It was like Pete walking with Jim to the locker room, just kind of spitballing. And it's like, Jim, come on. You got to be smarter than that. You think Pete Thamel sought you out in a hallway just to catch up after you know fully well who you're talking to and it's a reporter and you always assume you're on the record unless it was fully stated that it was not. And Pete Thamel's not going to go print that stuff if he felt like that was an off-the-record conversation. So the fact that Jim would hint that he didn't know he was on the record to me is more telling. Right? Because he's shooting from the hip. He's being as honest as can be with some of those comments, right? As opposed to, okay, this is an interview. Let me make sure I'm saying what I need to say and being careful about it.
To that end, in an era where what you say and how you say it is so important in all things, he's obviously slipping in that regard as he might be in terms of recruiting and how he's coaching, let alone, you know, what he's saying. But publicly, is that becoming a concern for Syracuse?
100%, Tim, and I'll tell you why. So after this latest kind of run of press conference boo-boos and the Pete Thamel thing, and let's be honest here, people are fed up with how the team's playing. But what stood out to me is I received more correspondence from, you name it, email, direct messaging, text messages, people stopping me in the produce section at Wegmans up here in central New York that I've never heard from before. And the common thread from those people, Tim, was, listen, I've supported this guy forever. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. He's embarrassing me. He's embarrassing the university. Fill in the list of people that are now like, I just can't take this anymore. Before I was like, oh, you know, hey, that's fun. Look at Jim. He's going after Andy Katz or whatever the case may be. People will honestly tolerate that more when they're going to tournaments and they're winning, right? I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's the way it's gone. So what stood out to me per your question, and you hit the nail on the head, is I've heard literally from hundreds of people, Tim, I've never gotten any correspondence from that saw what I was writing, heard what I was talking about, and said, look, you're spot on. I can't take this anymore.
Brent Axe with us. So what happens then? I mean, if there are fewer and fewer hardliners behind Boeheim, when does the administration then decide that a change needs to be made and gets proactive as opposed to just waiting for Boeheim to retire?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Because let's look at it in the short term. If he can get Judah Mintz to come back for another year, I think most people would actually be on board with that. They'd kind of take a deep sigh and be like, all right, look, you want to take one more run at this thing with a really talented point guard, to Jim's credit, who they did recruit and bring in here. And Judah Mintz has been, you know, if not for Kyle Filipowski, the rookie of the year in the ACC, he is a dynamic talent. He's not quite ready for the pros yet. Doesn't mean he won't go. But I think he needs another year to round off his three-point shot and just kind of get the edges off his game. If Mintz goes, if Joe Girard and Jesse Edwards don't come back for another year of eligibility, which they have, if there's another mass exodus here, I think everybody will just kind of come to the conclusion, like, we have to move on here. But I still feel like there's a number of people that are at that point now, Tim. I mean, this is going to be the second straight year without the tournament. They might not even make the NIT, and if they don't, that would be the first time in consecutive years they did not make the postseason since the late 1960s. That's the last time that happened up here. So, and here's the thing. Nobody knows what Jim Boeheim's contract status is. Syracuse keeps those things private, but it's got to be coming up here because when Mike Hopkins left in 2017, remember, there was a succession plan in place. Hopkins was going to take over for Boeheim, and then he took the Washington job, and Syracuse panicked and just gave Jim a new contract when, honestly, they didn't really need to. They could have done a search. It was after the season. They would have plenty of time to find a new coach to take over if that was the case. But that contract's got to be coming up, and there is no way on God's green earth you can give Jim Boeheim an extension at this point. So that might take care of itself. The issue is nobody knows when that contract's up. Is it this year? Is it next year? Is it the year after that? So that's all going to come to a head here.
Is the succession plan Adrian Autry or Jerry McNamara? And is that succession plan being tainted by Boeheim hanging on as long as he has?
I don't think it's being tainted because I don't think Autry or Jerry McNamara are in demand elsewhere as Mike Hopkins started to become. And, Tim, I've gone back and forth on this one. I've felt it's been read all along, but I'm starting to lean Jerry. I think Jerry might be the guy if, in fact, that's what they're going to go with. And, by the way, I would implore John Wildhack, the athletic director, not to just do that. I like Jerry a lot. I do. I like Red a lot as well. But I think you got to zoom out and see who's out there, right? This is Syracuse basketball. You've got one of the best facilities in the country. You've got one of the best practice facilities in the country. You have ACC membership. Like, this can be a big-time program. See, the issue, though, Tim, is Syracuse forever has gotten away with having Jim Boeheim as coach because they don't have to pay him anything. He's like the 30th highest paid coach in college basketball because he gets money from, you know, other sources, his media deals, his Nike deals, everything. And to Jim's credit, he's always wanted to defer any further money he'd get to his assistant coaches, right? So if that's the plan, I don't think that's exactly inspiring if they just set Jim aside and Jerry takes over. Like, it feels like, you know, the local family grocery store where the son takes over for the dad, right? It's like, you know, just think about it. Just zoom out. There's a lot of great coaches out there that could come in and make this a great program again. In some ways, maintain it as a great program. But obviously, Syracuse has been off its standards since it got deep into ACC play and in the years in ACC play.
I'm with you insofar as you got to just get the best guy available. And if the best guy available is better than Jerry McNamara or Red Autry, then so be it. And if those guys, one of them or both of them, want to leave as a result, okay. Doesn't mean that they can't come back if they go be a successful head coach elsewhere, right?
100%. 100%. There's some people that would take Mike Hopkins back, even though Washington has kind of slipped. But that's what a lot of people wanted to see, Tim. Hey, Mike, go out there. Learn how to be a head coach. Run a major program. And then come back in here and be the white knight, right, in as the savior here. So that's kind of the exception to the rule. It's funny how there is an opinion out there, and I have that opinion, to see who else is out there. But if that guy is Mike Hopkins, then, you know, you got to think about that.
Back to the personnel that you referenced before. First of all, how old will Gerard and Edwards be when they graduate? 35, 40? What?
Exactly.
I feel like those guys were playing when I was in school. That's how long they've been there.
Yeah, this is the new world we're in, Tim. You know, grad students, the transfer portal, everybody's got that extra year of eligibility per, you know, the COVID exemption. And look, if I'm Joe Girard, why wouldn't I come back?
Yeah, right? If there's NIL money to be had, and you're not real wild about going to Europe and you're playing close enough to home, then sure. I mean, Edwards might be a different story, right?
Yeah, Jesse's a different story. He has a little more difficulty getting NIL money because he's an international player. The rules are weird there. They need to fix that, and I think they're going to. But I think he might be ready to move on. Look, what we've seen the last two games is the issue, Tim. Duke and Clemson just pushed him around. He still has to get bigger. He's, you know, 6'11", about 7 feet, 230 pounds. But, you know, P.J. Hall for Clemson just bullied him in that game last night. Duke's different because they've got 3 7-footers they can throw at him, right? And he just couldn't. He had 3 field goal attempts in that Duke game. So Jesse's got to think about that. But he could play at home. He's from the Netherlands. He could play in Europe. I think he'd get a serious look from the NBA, G League type of thing. But I think it would behoove both of them to come back. I mean, Joe, just to ride out that college wave, get the NIL money, he could take a run at being the all-time leading three-point shooter in Syracuse history. If he came back, would move off the charts as an all-time scorer and would be a beloved player, right? And Jesse's he's just got to work on his game, right? He's almost there. I think he's a talented big man. I think he's one of the most improved players in the ACC, but he's just got to get bigger.
And the Minch thing, man, he's good. I've really enjoyed watching him play this year. He's different. Syracuse hasn't had a lot of guys like that can penetrate and get their own shot driving to the hoop the way that he can. He's creative. He's a little old school in that way. It's kind of a throwback. And that's in part because he doesn't shoot a lot of threes, can't shoot a lot of threes. So I'm watching the game against Clemson on Wednesday night, and they're getting their doors blown off. And the only good thing about it is what Judah Mintz is doing. And yet the good thing that he's doing is starting to hit threes. And I'm mad because I'm thinking, well, now he thinks he can go to the pros because he's hitting threes.
That's exactly right. That's the one thing he's got to work on in his game. And now he's starting to hit them. Now, part of the reason he's hitting them is teams leave him alone because he's not a threat there. So I want to see what he can do when he's defended at the three-point line. That's exactly what I wrote in my column this morning. So I do a column after every game, and we do the sunny side and the dark side of each game. And the one thing that was in the sunny side was Judah Mintz was starting to hit threes, but you could immediately spin that to the dark side because it's like, oh, no, now NBA teams see he can hit threes, and he could go. So, but here's the thing, Tim. Judah is a pleasure to watch. As the kids like to say, he's got that dog in him. He drives to the hoop. He can dunk. He can work the rim. He leads the ACC in steals per game at about just over 2 per game. He's a great defender. I mean, that zone has been terrible, but individually, he's a good defender. He reminds me a lot of Johnny Flynn, just a guy who just get out of his way and let him work. He just a great leader, you know, stepped into that role. I mean, as a freshman, they handed him the keys, and he's an offensive-minded point guard, but as the season's gone along, he's really learned, okay, when do I run the offense and when do I be the offense? And if he comes back with those players we mentioned, and if some of these freshmen this year that have been lagging, the forward position has been a disaster for Syracuse this year. But if they can get a year better, grab a couple of transfers, like this actually might be a team that could get back in the tournament next year. But it all hinges on Judah Mintz.
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of those games that they lost where they were really in it down the stretch, and then they had some bonehead last possession. Like, you know, the pick game is a perfect example, right? I mean, they stormed all the way back. They were in great position to win that game. They blew it on the last possession. There was the fluky inbound thing against, what was that, North Carolina, where they inbounded it under their own hoop, right? So they've had some of these games where Mintz has been great for a lot of the game and then just kind of falls apart at the end. But you tell me, is he kind of getting his head when it comes to those last minute situations? Are they getting better there?
They're getting a lot better there because he's a lot better there. He's made some better decisions there and has just kind of learned. Like, there's just a, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And now he does know, right? So that's the disappointing thing on another front, Tim, because Judah has made that full step from freshman to sophomore. But a lot of the other younger players have not for Syracuse. Chris Bell, he's just kind of there. I hate to say that about the kid, but he's really struggled rebounding. He's not somebody that wants to mix it up in the paint. He's been a good three-point shooter at times, but he has really struggled there in the last 7 games. I think he's like 4 of 25 in the last 7 games. Benny Williams has not made that step forward as a player. It just feels like he's just lost. He hasn't hit a three-pointer since the middle of January. Boeheim's lost faith in him. He just doesn't play a lot. Malik Brown's a talented kid. He's limited offensively. He's really good right around the basket. He plays hard. He's a good rebounder. He's a good defender, but there's only so much you can get out of him on the offensive front. So you saw it last night. Like, he cycled through pretty much all his forwards trying to find somebody, even Quadir Copeland, who's been, you know, just out of the lineup in recent games, is getting run. Justin Taylor is a freshman who is kind of known for his three-point prowess and is getting better in other ways. But, you know, you look at the box score, and, like, he and Copeland combined for 4 points last night. So there's not one guy at that position that has stood out. You kind of have to have somebody at the forward position to help out Jesse in the paint and take the pressure off Gerard and Judah to score, but they just don't have it right now.
Last thing, Brent, I'll let you go on this again. Brent Axe with us, talking Syracuse and Pitt. I remember my senior year up there. That's when they went to the Final Four with Wallace in 96, John Wallace. And that was the year, on a personal level, everybody got to know Boeheim and Julie Boeheim as a couple. You know, his personal life seemed to turn around. He started to change his image and become a little bit more friendly and a little bit more outgoing, and people saw a different side of him. And I think that helped him carry himself like through the last two decades and ingratiate himself with college basketball. Where is the family on this? Like, where is Julie? Where are Buddy and Jimmy? Are any of them, do you think, talking to him and saying, "Dad, you can quit now"? I mean, like, you're almost 80. So how long do you want to do this?
That's a great question, because they've been pretty diplomatic about that when they've been asked about it publicly. And see, that's the thing, you know, Jim is kind of known as this surly, you know, just kind of grump, right? And what we've talked about here, Julie is just an absolute sweetheart. Buddy,
she's best.
I got to interview Buddy. She's wonderful. I got to interview Buddy weekly last year, and he certainly got his personality from his mother, right? Jimmy's a little bit of both. Jimmy, I interviewed as well weekly, and I enjoyed it, but he kind of had a little bit of that competitiveness in him that his dad has. And, you know, Buddy's playing in the G League now. Jimmy's playing internationally. So, you know, they're enjoying their lives. They're out of the house. There was a big story up here recently, Tim. Jim Boeheim recently, he bought a huge lake house up on Skinny Atlas Lake up here, which is near – so Adam Weitzman's the big booster we were talking about a little earlier, who lives out that way as well. And they've become really good friends. And, you know, that real estate transaction went down. And I was like, oh, okay, bought a big retirement home on the on Skinny Atlas Lake, right? So at some point, when do you say enough is enough, right? Like, he's so competitive and he just does what he does, because what else do you do in Syracuse, New York in the winter, right? So I'm not sure how Julie feels about that, because – I mean, like, you would have thought it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
But maybe it just kind of naturally solves itself, and Jim kind of finally sees the writing on the wall here and says, okay, like, either I got to step down or someone above him has to. And that's the big question. People say, well, he's earned the right to decide when he walks away. And to me, Tim, just knowing Boeheim the way that I do, Jim is always going to think he's the answer to the question. Right. He'll look at the situation. He's so damn competitive that he'll say, I can fix this. So someone else has to come in, kind of tap him on the shoulder and be like, look, you have given everything you possibly can to this. We got to have a serious conversation about, you know, when we put the period at the end of the sentence here. So from what I know, though, they want him to be happy and him to do what he wants to do. And that's coaching. So I don't know how hard they're pushing for him to walk away.
Brent, thanks a lot, man. It was great catching up with you. It's going to be fun to have Syracuse at the Peterson Event Center. The atmosphere is going to feel like old times there, and I look forward to being a part of it. Hopefully, you'll be able to check it out and get a sense yourself watching. You're not coming up here by any chance, are you?
I'm not coming to Pittsburgh. I've always wanted to come, though. I am coming to your fair city later this year. I'm taking my bride to see Pink.
okay.
it was at the baseball stadium or the football stadium. I can't remember which one it was. But
I think it might be PNC Park. That one's not on my agenda, but if you do, I'm right close to the stadium. And I don't know if you can talk me into the show, but you can talk me into a few before the show.
Yeah, trust me, that was a gift for my bride. Okay, that was a full, that was. I'm going along for the ride on that one. But
I went there when Metallica played there over the summer, and Def Leppard and Motley Crue. Yeah, so that it does it, the way they set it up for a concert, you'll enjoy it.
And we got Springsteen coming to the Dome here in Syracuse in September, so rock and roll there.
Yeah, actually, that must be right before, right after the Pittsburgh dates, because he's got two at PPG Paints Arena on the 12th and 14th. So it must be right around there. So
September 7th. Yep.
All right, Brent. Thanks a bunch, man.
Tim, thank you so much, my friend.
Brent X joining us here from Syracuse.com and ESPN Syracuse.